I saw Brother Greg yesterday, and he told me about Brother Justin's passing. Of course, I bet the first time I ever met Brother Justin, of course, back at the other little store, you know, where they were striving to get the church going and everything. Those from Texas were over here. Of course, I heard him preach several meetings here and back there too, at the old store. And the good thing about like that, you know, preaching your sermon or whatever, when you go to a funeral like that, you know what they stood for. You know who they were. And your family was blessed, of course. I'm not sure there's always you to wonder why so early, why so young. But at least they know that he was a Christian. We all know that he was a Christian. And he was just a good guy, that's all there was to it. Liked to have fun, liked to be serious. But he loved the Lord, and I'm sure the people in Texas, of course, probably knew a lot more than I did about any of it, but because I know he did a lot of things. And he's going to be missed there in Houston, where he went to church, of course, and his family will miss him. And we'll miss coming over here and preaching revivals for us. But today, as we look at the Word of God, we're all faced upon this earth with just a little while. And that's the title of the lesson today, A Little While. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 37, we read of our Christian life. This is Paul writing, of course. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 37. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly which that ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became compassions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bond, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. When we look at these scriptures, this is an encouragement for suffering people. And of course, we as Christians here in America, we've been lucky. We haven't had to suffer what these people in the early church had to. But I'm not too sure we're not too far away from it. Because it's coming. If we're going to have a Bible in our home, if we're going to stand for God, there's something good. We're going to have to stand and trust God. And we are going to have something. I just listened to a TV program the other day of preacher talking, which I don't believe in all the stuff he believes in, but it's got something that's come along and it's been going on for a little while, they said. I had never heard of it, but it's Christians and Islam joined together. The Christians follow some of Islam, Islam follow the Christians, but they're not really following it because they don't believe in God, and we do, of course, as Christians. But this stuff is going on. The world's changing, and the church that we should be following is changing. And that's what's bad, because the Word of God has not changed. The people change, but God's Word, it doesn't change. Unless man takes it and blinded around his own thing. But these people had been persecuted. They were persecuted like the early Christians. They were just were. Because people didn't like them. They were afflicted. Verse 32, they said they endure a great fight of affliction. And they were made a gazing stock, and other people were watching them, keeping their eye on them, making fun of them, because of striving to serve God. And they're going to do it to us, and sometimes they will. If you stand up for God and talk to people like we should, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to look at you and just want to be away from you, really. And maybe even you might lose a job or something because of what you believe in. But they were reproached and afflicted. They lost a lot of the earthly possessions they had. Verse 34 says that they lost their goods. But we got a better thing in heaven as Christians. And they were tempted to give up, just like we're tempted to give up. We look around and say, man, it'd be a lot better if I could get out there and do all this other stuff that's going on, and be a lot more fun. But being a Christian is not supposed to be fun like that. We should be happy, and we should be joyful that we're going to heaven, that we're serving God. Because those things out there are not worth giving up God for, because they're going to go away. And of course the good news is found in verse 37. And we as Christians know this, we've studied it, we know about it. It says, for yet a little while and he, Christ, that shall come will come and will not tarry. Of course what is right, it says a little while, but you know a little while to God's not long. It might be however long, 1,000 years, 100,000 years, whatever. But the good news is coming. And it's coming soon. Maybe in your lifetime, maybe in my lifetime, that Christ will break that eastern sky and come. But one thing for sure, if we die a Christian, one of these days we're coming up out of that grave, because he's coming back. And he said, well, who is this he, one that will come back? He that shall come. And we say, of course, Jesus is coming. The one who died for each one of us, for you and me, suffered on that cross, had those nails put through his hands, through his feet, and all the beating he went before that. But he didn't stay in that grave. He rose again that he might go back to his Father. And when his Father sees him, he's coming back. He knows about being persecuted. So we can't say, well, I'm persecuting God, and you don't know what I'm going through. No, God knows what you went through. Christ knows what you're going through. Because he was persecuted. Even though he was not guilty, he knows about persecution. And he knows about afflictions. Because we know he was beaten. You know, one of the great things and most important things of this news, and how important it really is, we just don't realize the news that one day Christ is coming. And if we look at the Bible, and I found this in a little book, it says 1 out of 30 Bible verses teaches about the second coming of Christ. And one thing about it, I had never even thought about it, but it's mentioned 8 times more than when he was born. Because we always think about when he's born, we think about Christmas, we think about all that, you know, that happened at Bethlehem. But his coming back is mentioned 8 times more than that first coming. And in 216 chapters, 318 references are made to it. And whole chapters are given to it, talking about when Christ will be back and take his children home. The whole book, everything in the Bible, is given to it. The prophecies, everything that's been fulfilled, that he's coming back. But one time, you know, we think about it, that for yet a little while he shall come. We say, why hadn't he come back? What's holding him back? And a lot of people say he's just not going to come back. And a lot of people doubt that he's ever coming. He said, well, if he's coming, he'd already been here. What's he waiting on? We'll notice that a little bit further down. But many scoffers in the last days, they make fun of it. Make fun of his coming again. All that. Let's look over 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But they're ignorant of the word. They don't understand. He's coming back. It's just not yet. Not yet. And there's a lot of Bible reasons why Christ hadn't come back. But one of the main things, the reason Christ hadn't come back, because he doesn't even know when he's coming back. God appointed an hour, and that hour had to rise. Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 36. We'll begin with verse 35. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God knows when it's going to come. He's going to appoint that out. The angels of heaven don't even know when it's going to be. But we, you know, the church hadn't been completed yet. There's a lot of people out in the world that we could strive to reach. And when that comes, when that last member become a member, then the Lord will come. When he says, that's it, that'll be it. Let's look at Acts 15. Verses 14 through 16. Simeon hath declared how God is the first to visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the word of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom thy name is called, saith the Lord who doth all these things. It's not tithe yet. But one of these days, tithe is going to run out. That's the reason we need to be ready, always watching. And God's a lot long-suffering than I would be. And I look about all, and we all see the sins that are going on. We say, Lord, how can it get any worse? There's many people, you know, the acts and the things you see on TV, the things you see out in the world everywhere going on. He said, well, God, how long are you going to wait? What's the hold up, Lord? He knows what he's waiting for. His long serving has not ran out. It's not exhausted. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter chapter 3 verses 8 through 11. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years in one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then it says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, and the great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that there are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He's long suffering. But the day is coming. That great noise. The trumpet shall sound, and everything will be gone. And the judgment day will come. And if they depart from me, I don't know you, but come unto me. Well, when he comes, when's he going to come? Well, the Word of God says in a little while. But say, well, when is that? You know, there's always people that think they know when it's going to be. And all these date setters, of course, the ones that we know about, have all been wrong, of course. Guess what? The other ones are, too. I heard not too long ago. Some date, I forgot when it's in, but it went past. Nothing did to happen. They're still doing it. So sad about it, we look in the past, we see people go and sell everything they have, get on their rooftops and watch for the Lord to come. And he doesn't come. Why do people keep doing that? Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 36. But on that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. All these false prophets have been proven frauds. But the one thing we got to remember, Christ is going to come right on time, the exact time, because that's the time that God will send him, and it'll be the right time, and we better be ready. You know the thing about it? He's coming sooner than you might think. Again in Matthew 24 and verse 44. says, therefore be ye also ready. Remember that now. Therefore be ye ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So it may be a lot sooner than you think it's going to be. You know, if you're not a Christian, if the Lord had to come, you're going to die one day, and you'll never become a Christian. You'll be lost in your sins. We backslidden and turned away from God and started following the world again. We die like that. We're going to be lost. Just remember, Christ will come in a little while. You know, we could take it, we can look at this coming of Christ in two different ways. As we look for it and think about it. We may be have a doctor behind our name and be very smart and study the Word. You know, it's possible to look at it with a great intelligence and seem very interested. And yet it had been nothing to us personally. In other words, we know all about what the Word says. We could quote every scripture, but it doesn't mean anything to us. But then you turn around to the real Christian, and it's like we should be, and it's also possible, but little about theology as far as what man thinks on the subject. And yet we have a deep and long, holy and longing for our Lord to appear. That's the way we are as Christians. When he appears, we're ready. And we long for that time that we can get out of this sick world that we live in. What we personally hope for. Of course, we should study about it and think about it. But also, let's look to it. It says, and the Word unto them that look for him, shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. That's when Christ is coming. When he comes back, he's coming back. He hasn't done any sin. And he's bringing eternal life to all that obey him. You know, you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's the way the second coming becomes really important to us. Because we're striving to reach that place called heaven. That we can rest from all these things. We won't be sick anymore. We won't have cancer. We won't have heart attacks. We won't be wondering where the next dollar is going to come from. Whatever. That'll all be gone. And we'll be forever blessed. Far beyond what we read in the Bible that we understand, even though the revelation touches on it in different parts of the Bible. But it'll be nothing like we really think it is. Because the only way we've known it is the way it is. It's like our yards or wherever, gardens, we have to fight the weed. Well, that's the way the world is. We're here in this world and we have to fight the sins. Cut them down out of our life. That we could shine. Get rid of the thorns from the roses. That's what we must do. If we fight here on this earth. But thank God, like I say, we've got heaven coming. And all those things will be answered. And all those things that we wonder about, we probably won't even worry about anymore. just to be there and worship God and sing around His throne. Won't be no preaching because there won't be no need. Everybody will be there. Just praising God. I don't really know anything else. We don't really know. But we know it's a lot better than this place. If somebody calling, that's jump on and send to see the hill.